It's 5 minutes with me.
Hey, friends. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. This is part two of a little two-parter on four moments in my own teenage life that resulted in a lifetime of youth ministry. And if you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to that first. In last week's episode, I shared how there were four specific moments in time, all of them crystal clear in my memory all these years later, that shaped me and changed the trajectory of my life. These four moments were, I'm fairly certain, insignificant to the adults I was interacting with. But I would not have spent 42 years in youth ministry if these four moments hadn't happened. They profoundly shaped me. The two stories I shared last week were both about being invited into the world of adults, which is an extremely uncommon experience for the average teenager, even more so today. This week, two more stories, each with different implications. Moment number three. In the mid-1970s, my church was still figuring out its approach to youth ministry. The church had hired their first youth director, who still reported to the Christian education director, and the youth director only worked with high schoolers. The junior hires were still only part of the Christian education program of the church. For me as a young teen, that meant Sunday school on Sunday morning, and that was it. When I was 13, I thought of the youth director, a guy named Terry, as my older sister's youth director, not mine. I heard about him all the time from my sisters, but I expected that his only and solitary impression of me was that I was Lori and Lisa's little brother. And Terry had moved on by the time I got to high school, so he was technically never my youth director. So I was quite surprised when, as a 13-year-old, Terry stopped me in the hallway of the church. To this day, I can recreate every tiny detail of the scene. I know exactly where it happened. In an angled hallway just outside of the youth director's office, an office with a split door open the whole thing or just the top half, across from the fellowship hall, coat racks with shelves for hats or Bibles there and there, men's and women's restrooms right over there, or the weird brick bay windows of sorts looking out onto a courtyard around the corners in both directions, the custodian's office 10 feet in that direction and just beyond it, the entrance to the hub, the basement where the youth group met. It's interesting that I remember this level of detail because I haven't seen this spot in well over 40 years. In fact, it doesn't exist anymore outside of my memory as the church moved well over a decade ago and that building sold to a developer was leveled and replaced by condos and a strip mall. It was a busy passing time between services or between Sunday school and the church service. The hallways in that part of the church were stupidly thin for the quantity of people we had mashing through them. But as Terry was passing me or me him, he said, "Oh, Stryker," I think he might have called me my last name because he didn't know my first name. But he said, "Oh, Stryker, you'd make a great youth pastor someday." I have no idea why he said this or why he picked that moment to say it. But he said it, and I never, ever forgot it. Let's be clear, that was 46 years ago. I might have still ended up in youth ministry without that comment from Terry. In fact, I planned on another career, but I saw myself differently after that passing comment. And I'm 100% confident it played a formative role in the identity work that had just at that point sped up onto the freeway on-ramp provided by my newly acquired abstract thinking. It was a simple word of encouragement. As a youth worker, I've tried to follow suit hundreds of times, calling out things I see in teenagers, giving them vision for their lives, encouraging and naming their sheer awesomeness. Hopefully, I get to occasionally be a word from God to them. I sure hope I will have an impact on some kid like that nine-word comment 46 years ago had on me. Moment number four. When I was 15, we had a Sunday school teacher named Fred. Nothing about Fred was cool. He looked strikingly like the dead guy from Weekend at Bernie's, though that movie was more than a decade away from its release. He was a somewhat boring teacher, and he used an overarching device to get compliance out of us that even as a ninth grader, I could see as horribly manipulative. we got points for all sorts of things, attendance and other things. And those with the at least a modicum of points at some point in the winter got to go to Fred's cabin in northern Michigan for a snowmobiling weekend. When I spot manipulation, particularly by a boring, uncool Sunday school teacher, I'm prone to rebellion, apparently. I took a couple friends with me and made an appointment with the director of Christian education. Welcome to 70s in church land. We sat down and told the DCE that Fred was weird and boring, and we demanded to start our own Sunday school class, an alternate for the 15-year-olds. Amazingly, he said yes. I have no idea if he was giving us rope to hang ourselves, skeptical that we'd even follow through, or if he was a pushover or some other reason. We started our own alternative ninth grade Sunday school class and actively recruited all of our peers to leave Fred's class and join ours. A handful did, but most were slaves to the manipulation of the promised snowmobile trip. We lasted 3 weeks. And then we shuffled back into Fred's class with our tails between our legs. Sure, he was going to be mean to us by being more weird and more boring or more likely to shame us privately or in front of the entire class of peers. But he never once mentioned it. He was, we noticed, as gracious and friendly and warm and inclusive as ever. In fact, it wasn't until we came back that we noticed he'd been those things all along. Did I mention that Fred was also my dentist? At my next appointment, he informed my parents that I really needed braces, but because he knew my missionary parents couldn't really afford it, he offered to do my braces for out of pocket expense of $50. Really. Fred was not a brilliant Sunday school teacher, but he showed me grace and forgiveness when I least deserved it. And that experience didn't as directly point me to youth ministry as much as the other three moments I've shared, but it left an indelible mark on me, one that altered the trajectory of my life just as much as the other three. That mark has, I hope, colored my practice of youth ministry for these 42 years. Youth workers, once again, the moral is obvious, right? Any adult, even those of us who are weird and or boring, can impact the lives of teenagers with grace and forgiveness. Who impacted your life like these stories, and what can you learn from those moments?
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.